Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Game Industry New Gen Lounge. I hope you are all excited because today we are going to talk about all sorts of pixel violence, specifically Smash Brothers.
And polygonal violence. You can't forget about that, too.
Of course not. You can never forget the polygons. That's actually Jen's tagline. You can never forget the polygons.
We need a new tagline.
Note, it is not actually our tagline. So we wanted to cover this show because DLC came out, full rosters in for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and there's just been a lot of backlash, a lot of going back and forth, a lot of angry fans, a lot of happy fans, and it's a lot to unpack. So Vince is a professional unpacker, so we brought him here to handle the luggage.
Yeah, apparently I'm just great at packing things away. Wait, that's not what we were talking about. All right, so I love the Smash Brothers series. It's probably one of my favorite ones, despite being, you know, hot trash at it. But the final character was finally revealed. It's Sora from Kingdom Hearts. And there has been wailing. There has been gnashing of teeth. There's also been people who are happy about it. You know, people who enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm not gonna urinate on their parade or anything. But, Neil, what did you feel when you saw that Sora was going to be the last character?
Honestly, I didn't mind. I feel like Sora kind of fits in well with what Smash Brothers has going on. I mean, recognizable character from a long-running series. Very popular, especially when you could put Sora along with Mario, Samus, Marth, just some of these, like, if you say Sora, you know who Sora is. Almost everyone's at least played Kingdom Hearts 1, and it's a venerated series. I feel like Sora was a natural choice, and I'm honestly surprised it took this long for Sora to make it on to any Smash Brothers game.
Well, I'm not surprised it took this long. I mean, I am actually quite surprised that it happened at all, given that it's Disney. And outside of the Mickey Mouse head at the end of his Keyblade, there is, I think, zero Disney reference. Well, I guess I can't say that. His, like, eighth character color is mimicking, like, that Steamboat Willie aesthetic. Like, he's black and white and everything like that. So I guess there are references to Disney, but there's no Donald or Goofy on his stage, which they're, you know, some of the most important characters in the Kingdom Hearts series. I mean, who else are you gonna make reference to? Kyrie? She didn't even do anything. She's the Sakura of Kingdom Hearts.
Or you could always bring up the abomination versions of Final Fantasy characters that have, like, the voice is like an octave too high, and it's deeply unsettling when you play it again as an adult.
I'm trying to think of what character you are referring to, because I can only think of Cloud, and I don't recall his voice being too high. I'm thinking like Squall?
Kingdom Hearts 1, at the beginning you have Waka and... maybe Selfie from 8. And both of them, their voices sounded way too high. They sounded like they were 7 years old, and it was really concerning.
I guess I should go ahead and admit that I did intend to replay all of the Kingdom Hearts games before 3, but I didn't. I played 2, because Kingdom Hearts 2 is my favorite one, and I think I redid Birth by Sleep, which is... I don't know if that one's actually really beloved, but I quite enjoy it, even though Ventus is just carbon copy of Roxas from 2.
Well, if you need
that opening of 2.
If you need a bar for PS4, we have... like the 9 games in 1 value pack of Kingdom Hearts games.
I think I've got them separately. I didn't even watch the cutscenes of Recoded or whatever else is on there. And then like 360 math over whatever days, the game where you play as Roxas. I didn't refresh myself on anything that happened in that one either. I remember playing that one back in the day and I'm like, oh, this is cute. And I'm bored. And then I went to do something else. I'm very much a fair weather Kingdom Hearts fan. Like, if the game is excellent, I will play through it no problem. But if the game has any issues at all, I was out like menudo.
So
did not bother at all.
With this roster announcement, Vince and I have been talking about all the things that people have complained about. The most common one I think we've seen was it Waluigi? Because Nintendo fans have been trying for years. For some reason, and I don't know why Waluigi has a cult following, but they've been trying for years to get Waluigi onto Super Smash Bros. Just, it hasn't happened yet. And apparently those Waluigi fans were livid again because they was hoping it was going to be him instead of Sora.
I mean, I guess they can just be angry about it. I have no idea. I'm kind of joining you, and I don't understand why Waluigi has such a cult following, but maybe there were just some kids who were really, really, really into the Mario Tennis games. Because if I'm not mistaken, the reason why he exists is because Wario needed a doubles partner. That is the only reason he is around.
Yeah, I think he ended up in Mario Kart 64. I think he ended up in possibly...
Waluigi?
I think so.
I don't remember him in 64. No, I think maybe he was in Double Dash,
Double Dash.
Because he and Wario shared a cart.
I can't remember if he ended up in Mario Party either, but yeah, I don't understand why there's a cult
following.
He's
been in most of the Mario Parties. Actually, if you play a lot of the Nintendo spinoff games, Waluigi is in there now. So I guess the origination doesn't really matter too much to his fans. It's that he exists. Maybe they like his, you know, lanky aesthetic. Maybe that speaks to them in some way.
The purple makes them feel good about themselves.
I mean, that could be the case, too.
So what other complaints have you been seeing when Sora was announced?
Doom Guy was robbed.
Huh.
I think that's my favorite one, because it's like, oh, Doom Guy, the guy who doesn't have a name. We should be happy that he is at least a Mii Gunner costume. Because I think that's actually really sick. They got the Doom Slayer as a Mii Gunner costume, which is as much as Geno fans have gotten since Mario 64. Not Mario 64, Mario RPG.
I don't know, like, I don't see what Doom Guy would have added that either Bayonetta, Fox, Samus, like, I don't
see... Violence.
Yeah, I just didn't see what they would add gameplay-wise over characters like that.
Honestly, the way things were going, I was fully expecting that if Doom Guy ever gets in, he's just going to be another sword fighter. So everyone's going to keep using the anime sword fighter complaints. Because they've been using it with Sora, too.
It probably didn't help.
A lot of the cast uses a sword. Guess what? That's big in fantasy. You're going to see swordies.
Yeah, because Byleth was announced Fire Emblem Three Houses, and of course, sword user. Standard, at least.
Well, yeah, you can belt out the axe and the spear and the bow for special attacks. But primarily, you're going to be using that whip sword that was made out of a dragon, who I believe was related to Byleth in some way. Spoilers.
So
how useless is it to say spoiler warning after you've already said the spoiler, huh?
Apparently that's just the Gen Lounge way. We break the news to you and then remind you afterwards that we shouldn't have broke the news to you. What was the weird anime one that you saw that we had to talk at length about before the show because it was just so mind-boggling?
Oh, Saber from Fate Stay Night?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, yeah, I don't see that one ever happening. Which, she has a much larger fan base clamoring for her than you would think. I know
than
one
Waluigi.
Person personally. I'm not going to say bigger than Waluigi, just because I don't think Fate Stay Night has had that level of penetration. Which, that's a hilarious word to use, given the origins of Fate Stay Night, I feel. But I do know one person personally who would want Saber, but knows that, like, that will never happen. And it's primarily because the Fate Stay Night series started off as a porn game. It's a visual novel with pornographic elements. But the later things that have come out have kind of just cut that out of the series, because I guess that was unimportant. And the other things are actually really cool. Like, I was telling you earlier that Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works is amazing, And I think everyone's nicknamed it Unlimited Budget Works because the animation is gorgeous. So you don't have to worry about porn with the animes. I don't think you've actually had to worry about porn in most of them in like the last 20 years, 18 years. I'm not sure how long it's been, if I can be real with you. I don't know how long that series has been around.
So looking at the DLC fighters, who are you?
None of them are from porn.
None of them are from porn. come in next time when we have Gin Lounge After Dark. But with the DLC fighters, who really stood out to you or made you happy that you get to use?
Well, speaking of characters who aren't in porn, the ones that I like the most are Pyra and Mithra. I didn't care who came after Pyra and Mithra. I was like, oh my god, I finally get my Xenoblade 2 rep. Because Xenoblade is my favorite series, most likely. The original Xenoblade Chronicles is probably my favorite game of all time, up there with Xenosaga Episode 3, which they were both written by the same guy, as far as I remember. But a Switch character who kind of pulls off the Zelda Sheik thing, and in my opinion does it better than Zelda and Sheik do, where you can jab someone a couple times with Mithra, do a throw, then do a tech chase, switch to Pyra, and follow up with a down smash. It's incredible. I love playing as them. I usually play as floaty characters, but I like Xenoblade so much that I picked up Pyra and Mithra anyway. Kind of like what I did for Shulk, even though the character that I was good with for most of Smash 4 was just Luigi. I'm a filthy Luigi main, unfortunately. Well, at least I was before Pyra and Mithra, because I play them almost all the time now.
Honestly, for me, the one I was most happy to see, and the character's probably not good. I don't own Smash, and I barely play Smash, but I was really happy to see it, is Banjo-Kazooie. Just because, I love the N64 throwback. It's nice to, it's nice to see old Banjo again in something modern.
Yeah, and they did a phenomenal job with his design. I actually really like that character, though he's not one that I kind of jive with my playstyle. But I run into Banjos online all the time, and they will use Wonder Wing every chance they get. It is amazing. Because they gave him a 5-point system for gold feathers, and you can just belt out this basically invincible charge. At any point in time, you can use it to recover, you can use it to get a kill, you can use it just because, I don't know, you're swinging at ghosts. I don't know what goes through an online Banjo's head, but they will use that all the time, and it's amazing. I used Mithra's Foresight on one time and got a smash attack off of it. I felt really good about that one.
So, I will be the first to admit, I was looking through the roster, and I have never felt more old and out of touch than when I had to call Vince and go, hey, who's this character? Who's this character?
What game is that? Oh, that's Joker Persona 5.
I still have no idea who Hero is.
He's the guy from Dragon Quest XI. They never give the protagonist names. So when you play as Hero, you can actually pick from different Dragon Quest characters. They have the guy from Dragon Quest. Now, the problem is I don't actually remember which specific one they're from. The one who looks like he has Gohan's hair, I think is from either 4 or 5. The one with the fishy things on his ears, I've played the game, but I think it might be 3. Maybe it's 1. I don't know. And then you have the one with the bandana who's from 8. But yeah, I'm kind of fishy on my Dragon Quest knowledge, in spite of the fact that I own almost all of those games. But he's a fun character solely because they implemented a mana system, and all of his special attacks consume MP. So if you waste all of your MP doing attacks and then you get knocked off stage, you probably just can't even use your up B to get back. You're just going to die. But it does lead to very funny moments because they made his down B this menu that flies out, and it has random attacks in it that you can do by hitting the B button again. So one of them makes you explode. It's just you do kamikaze and you explode, and if the enemy's at high percent, you can kill them. But if you, half the time I see people do it, they're button mashing on that menu because they're like, I'm just going to take whatever the top option is, whatever. And then they'll just explode on the other side of the stage, and I'm like, woo, free stock. And I never homie stock a hero player. If you kamikaze, you deserve it. That's all I'm saying. Read. Hero players do not know how to read. That's my generalization.
Because he has never said it on this show. Vince here he said this one time, and it has stuck with me for at least a decade. And that was...
Oh, God.
He said it for listening, but you've also said it for reading, which is, reading is a superpower everyone has, but no one uses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you have said that for both listening as well. And that stuck with me. Honestly, when I look over the roster for Smash, I don't really have any complaints. I have some confused questions, but also I think the one complaint I do have is, did we need so many Pokemon? Like, why do we need Incineroar and Greninja and Pikachu and Pichu and Mewtwo and the Pokemon Trainer? Like, I feel like we could have put... Oh, and there's Lucario as well. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, Lucario.
Lucario, yeah. It's like, we could have put some other things in there. Like,
well, why do Pokemon it's the biggest franchise in the world, from what I understand, like, video game-wise. I don't think... Actually, it might just be the biggest franchise in the world, period. It's been a while since I've checked on that, but it makes sense to me that, you know, there's a whole bunch of Pokemon, just because this was the game where it's like, everyone is here. So, of course, they brought back Pichu, who was originally just like a joke character in Melee, because Jigglypuff was the joke character in the first game, and then Pichu was the joke character in Melee, because I guess, I don't know, they wanted to have their own Dan from Street Fighter.
I completely missed Jigglypuff. Oh, I forgot Jigglypuff's in this too.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I decidedly brought up Jigglypuff, because I'm like, he missed the best one. Which I play a Mewtwo a lot too, so. But like, they cut Mewtwo in Brawl, and I was super sad because I played him in Melee, where he is one of the worst characters ever. And then in Smash 4, they brought him back, and I guess he was a top tier, which was kind of neat because I could use his tail actually existed outside of the 2D plane most of the time. So you could, if you spaced properly, outrange a lot of the sword users, which I love doing. Like, I spent a lot of time playing Mewtwo on, you know, potato connections, apparently, because everyone's like, oh, I'm going to play Smash Brothers. Time to download stuff off BitTorrent. Nintendo needs to do rollback, is all I'm saying.
By the way, I did like the throwback to King K. Rool.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see his reveal trailer? It was amazing.
I did not.
They do kind of a brief fake out, and then they're finally like, oh, yeah, by the way, King K. Rool is here. And I thought it was pretty interesting. They did trailers for, like, each one of the characters that they added. So even Incineroar got his own little trailer. Which, I'm horrible with Incineroar. I find it fun to play against Incineroars online because they always go for the one move that their internet connection is too bad to make work. They always go for their forward B. But he's an interesting design space because he's a grappler. So it's he's not just like sword character number like 21. He actually has a bunch of like unique animations and attacks for him. I've never been huge on Greninja, but that's just me. I have hated Lucario ever since he was introduced because they took away Mewtwo and then they gave me this guy who has dangly things on his head, and I did not care. though Pokemon Trainer is probably one of the coolest characters, because it's interesting to have characters that can switch and have different strengths and weaknesses depending on how the game is going.
Mm-hmm.
Though I do think they need to make like the heavier ones more powerful, or at least give them more options. Because a lot of time when you switch to Charizard, when you're at high percent, it's like, well, I'm just going to be combo fodder anyway. So I don't know, Flare Blitz. Or at least that's what a lot of Charizards do online.
So I got to ask, who is Ridley?
He's from Metroid, dude. He's the like only non-Samus Metroid rep that we could possibly get. He's the big like dragon-looking boss from the original Metroid and Super Metroid.
I forgot his name was Ridley.
A joke for years was that Ridley was too big to be in Smash, and I'm willing to bet the reason why you didn't understand is because he's not taking up half the screen.
Yeah.
But he's been in a lot of the games. Like, he was in Super Metroid. He was in Metroid Prime. And he was in Other M.
I mean, the only one I've really played through to completion was Prime. But it's been so long ago. And again, like, I remember, if you tell me Metroid boss that takes up half the screen from the original, yes, I remember who it is. I just forgot his name was Ridley. If you tell me, hey, remember the Ridley thing from space, I think aliens.
Right, yeah. You think not Daisy Ridley. What was her full name in that movie? I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her full name.
Ridley Scott?
Yeah, Ridley Scott. No.
Or was that the writer?
Might have been the director. I know the actress. That's not going to help.
Sigourney Weaver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. We're getting older and our memories are going. So, but yeah, Ridley from Alien.
Oh, here it is. Ellen Ripley.
Ripley! You tricked me.
Ripley's the last...
You tricked me. You were a consonant off, sir.
I'm getting old.
Went along with it, assuming you knew what you were talking about.
Well,
you pulled a me.
There was your mistake. You should know I never know what I'm talking about because I'm old and forgetful and I need to be in a home.
Well, it's like that's the kind of the thing that we have going on between us, is I'm the guy who has played everything, but I remember none of it. And you're the guy who has played a select few games, but you recall literally every detail. So like, hey, you remember that thing that happened in Far Cry 2? And I'm like, I don't remember yesterday.
Speaking of which I actually want to play that again when we get our Twitch channel up. That's probably going to be one of the games I played by myself. Did you hear it was confirmed that the Jackal in that game was the character from the first one? That you played.
No, I did not hear about that at all.
Yeah, the developers came out and said that the Jackal in Far Cry 2 is Jack Carver, who you played at through the first Far Cry, played it as through the first Far Cry game.
That's pretty cool. So I guess they pulled an after the fact Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction.
Yeah, which is neat. It was a fan theory for a long time. But they confirmed that whatever happened to him on that island, like either PTSD or whatever it was, he decided, like, he kind of broke bad and became an arms dealer. So it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, that's neat. I actually had no idea about that, but I know nothing of, like, Far Cry lore. I don't even remember anything of Far Cry 3. I kind of wait, instead of buying new Far Cry games, I just wait a while and then I just boot up Far Cry 3 again. And it's like a brand new game and I make tigers attack people and then I get bored and I uninstall it again. It's an every few years ritual.
I usually wait until like it hits the bargain bin. Like, I think I got my wife Far Cry 4 because she's never played it, or any Far Cry. And I think I found it for like $7. So I was like, I'll spend $7 on Far Cry 4, and I grabbed it for her.
Yeah, Ubisoft games are pretty good at coming down in price quickly. It's one of those cases where it's like, I don't recommend buying them for full price at release. maybe if we stopped buying them at full price at release, they would chill the hell out and, you know, make fewer of these games that are almost carbon copies of one another. Yeah. But that's a discussion for another time.
So, with Smash, obviously, I know I might be being dramatic here, but we kind of hit the mountaintop, I think. I don't see the next Smash Brothers having a 82 character roster with players from Disney, Square Enix, Capcom, all of these other companies. And
oh yeah, it would be a complete licensing nightmare.
So do you think that Smash fans are just inevitably going to be disappointed with the next game after everything that Ultimate has done?
So they've already tried to temper our expectations, funnily enough. They have said not to expect this large of a roster ever again. And they've pretty much been doing like constant development on this game for, I mean, good grief. When did they get done with DLC for Smash 4? I don't remember exactly when that was. Maybe 2015, 2016. So it's been 5+ years. They've just been constantly working on one game, trying to kind of make fans' dreams come true. Because there's a good like 220 plus games represented in Smash. Just going by the characters themselves that you get to play as, the assist trophies, all of the references that get made in the spirit mode. I mean, there's a spirit from Warframe. There are spirits from all of these different series connected to these characters. Even like random old Nintendo games that...
Isn't Jagan one of them?
Yes, I believe he is a spirit, actually. Which makes sense because he's the first... He's a character archetype in Fire Emblem, and he's the one who established that archetype. So it makes sense that he would have a spirit in Smash Ultimate, just because he is the Jagan. He's why we have the Jagan character archetype that, you know, when I was young and playing Fire Emblem, I was told don't use them. And then, you know, hard mode comes around, and I find using Marcus constantly was a great way to get through... the hard mode and Fire Emblem for the Game Boy Advance. So, and apparently that's how, like, that's the speed tech now, is you just, growths don't matter, only bases do. Like, the growths are nice if you manage to get them, but focus on good bases, and that's how you succeed in Fire Emblem now. Which I think is cool, because, you know, Information Age and everything like that has completely flipped the meta from what I was told, you know, 19 years ago or whatever. It's wild. The games have stayed the same, but the strategy was completely inverted. So like those Astrid characters who have Paragon or whatever are always like considered to be the worst characters, generally speaking. Anyway, how about that Kazuya?
Hey, you know, I always enjoy seeing a random Tekken character pop up in places.
Right, that was the one that was very out there for me, because, like, I know of Tekken, I played Tekken 2. No, I'm sorry, I played Tekken 1. I played the one where when you beat the game, he, like, drops his grandfather off the cliff, because he was mad about being dropped off a cliff when he was younger, and that's why he was all scarred. And it's like, oh yeah, this is... That's justifiable, because, you know, it was done to him. Then, apparently, when they showed the trailer for Kazuya, I did not know he turned evil in the, like, 10-plus years since I had even touched a Tekken game. I had no idea. It's like, oh, he's Nestle, because he's Mr. Business, but evil. Actually, he's most major corporations, Let's not kid ourselves.
The last Tekken game I played was Tag Tournament 2. And I actually enjoyed that roster as well. I ran Asuka and Dragunov as my team. A striker and a grappler. Once I Asuka's easy to learn, but Dragunov, but man, he's difficult. But once you learn how to use him, he is so good, and it's such a pain to deal with.
I played the bear.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, Tekken was the game with a bear who was playable, and I played him because he's a bear, and I thought that was funny.
That's all it took. Because Tekken, you had like King, who was like half cheetah. You had a giant panda.
Just wearing a cheetah mask. Is he half cheetah?
I think so. He's like a cheetah head or something like that. But the ones that really kind of threw me off, and I know it's probably not going to be popular, and people are going to, for the bots in, what's our ongoing joke, Vince? We have a bot that listens to us from Lithuania.
I believe that is, yeah.
The one the Lithuanian bot will get angry about is Steve and Alex. I understand Minecraft is popular. I understand a lot of people play Minecraft. I just don't understand why we have two random Minecraft characters in Smash Brothers. Again, like, part of me is just like, could this roster spot not have been filled out by someone a little more generally relevant?
Well, okay, so I was one of those people who was adamantly against, like, Minecraft's inclusion in Smash and all that. Because I'm like, he will have, like, two animations, and yeah, he has, like, two animations. He kind of does a lot of the same thing. But that character alone really made a lot of people happy. Like, the neighbor kid picked up Smash pretty much just because he wanted to play as Steve. And he's one of those characters who has an interesting floor, but the ceiling is so insanely high that just the random tricks a Steve can pull off are ridiculous. Like, Steve's ledge trap and edge guard game are outrageous because he can just make platforms underneath himself off stage, and then he can set up walls and bounce you off of those walls and get further and further out to the blast zone to kill you. It's wild some of the stuff people can do to save themselves from getting blown up or to, like, set up interesting traps for the opponent. And a lot of the time, you wind up entering, like, this crazy sub-game when you're against a Steve where you need to deal with his crafting box and you need to deal with his walls, because you don't want him picking up diamonds, because that will make all of his attacks that he does with that, you know, horrible sword of his deal just way more damage. So I think it's an interesting mechanic. He's interesting to play against. I cannot play him to save my life, but I have never had a bad game against that character. So he's one of the ones that I really didn't want to see, but it made a lot of people happy. And it's a lot better than those, like, weird comeback mechanics where it's like, oh, I hit 100%, I have go sauce, now, like, my neutral B or whatever that I was firing off before shoots, like, twice as high up into the air. That kind of thing.
I never got a chance to play with them. What they do with Wolf?
So Wolf plays very similarly to the other two spaces. So, like, you have Fox, who I think Ultimate is probably the worst iteration of Fox we've had so far.
Yeah, because I remember when I played him with you, because Fox was normally one of my go-tos, because pretty much I can usually go between Fox and Captain Falcon and get a grip on what I'm playing quickly enough. But yeah, Fox didn't feel right when I was playing him on Ultimate.
Yeah, like, they, I don't want to say they took away his kill power, but now you have, like, a few moves you need to loop into in order to secure a kill, and it's a lot more difficult with Fox than what it was before. Then Falco is, you know, variant of Fox, who has a standing laser that actually stuns you instead of just, you know, racks up percent. Wolf is probably the best iteration of his appearances, because I believe he showed up in Brawl and then was absent from 4, and then he showed up in Ultimate again. Wolf has just really strong normals. Like, a lot of his normal attacks are vastly different from Fox and Falco. A lot of Falco's moves look like Fox's, but they have different properties. Like, a move that's a multi-hit for Fox might be a single-hit spike for Falco, that kind of thing. But Wolf gets completely different animations, and I believe they cover more range. I did pick him up for a little while, just because he looked neat, but I didn't like being associated with a furry, so I stopped playing him. But what the actuality is, he's not floaty enough for me to typically enjoy, and his name isn't Pyra or Mithra, so I didn't feel like getting over that barrier. But he's got, like, some big sweeping normals. He has pretty decent special attacks, and you can do some pretty interesting setups with him. And quite frankly, I think he's easier to play than Fox or Falco in Ultimate. So, like, if you were wanting to try playing Fox, like, the next time we get together and play Smash or whatever, I could easily recommend Wolf, because you could probably just spam, like, neutral and forward air all the time, and I'd be like, how do I deal with this? Because all the ones online do. They fight against ghosts, like, 50% of the match. They are as bad as Roy Mains.
I always love telling this story. One time, my wife and I went over to Vince's house, and we were all playing group Super Smash Brothers, and my wife likes to use Lucina. And for those who've never used Lucina, when you use her special ability, she puts her her rapier down and does, like, this giant, like, horizontal charge. And Vince and I got in the habit of timing it just right, jumping over it, and my wife would just yeet her way out of the map using her Lucina special ability.
Yeah, she would dart into the blast zone and get mad every single time it happened.
Or one of the ones like the racetrack, where if you go too far off to the side, it counts as a ring out. And, like, I was standing over there with Captain Falcon, and she used that, and I panicked and jumped and went right over her, and she just flew her way out of the game.
Yeah, and, like, hers goes a really good distance on the ground, too. Very impressed that she could be, like, almost up against the ring and just zip right off of Little Mac's stage. That was really fun.
And then there was another one where she did it, but I was using Captain Falcon, and it petered out literally right in front of me. She just ground to a halt right in front of me, and I just Falcon punched her right out of the map.
Oh, man. Captain Falcon is one of those characters that I've loved playing ever since the first game he was introduced. And I still really enjoy playing him in Ultimate, but some of these videos that Falcon players put out are ridiculous. I just saw one today where a guy was playing against Rosalina, who has, like, that little star Luma that follows her. Well, generally speaking, they try to get Luma in front of them, so that way they can tag team you with attacks and stuff. But he hit Luma, which put it into, like, a falling state, bounced it off the map, and then jumped off the mat, off the stage, and spiked the Luma and killed it. And the Rosalina went off stage, like, leave my pet alone. So the Falcon upbeat the Rosalina, which let him get back to the stage. And then while the Rosalina was doing her upbeat to get back, he Falcon punched her. It's like, that Rosalina was a book, and he read every line. Every single move she was going to make, he read. Because, like, he went down too far to make it back with just his upbeat. So he relied on her coming off stage to try and save her Luma.
Wow.
The stuff that people do in this game is wild. I love it.
So, since we're probably getting near the end of the show.
Oh, here, I thought you were going to complain about Min Min.
I have no idea what a Min Min is, or a Terry.
Well, Min Min's the noodle girl from ARMS, which is a game that nobody played, as evidenced by what you just said. And Terry is from Fatal Fury, which I believe is a knockoff, well, not a knockoff, but a spinoff of King of Fighters. He asks you if you're okay, and then he punches you in the face.
And I guess And I guess I do have a gripe. Did Isabelle just get put in there because of the memes? I gotta know.
I mean, if you're wanting to put another character from Animal Crossing, it's her or Mr. Rossetti. And I think that you lose a lot of the magic of Rossetti if you put him into something like Smash Brothers. Also, I have no idea what Rossetti's legs would look like, because I believe he's generally always in a hole. I guess they could do Tom Nook.
Yeah.
But I think Isabelle is even more popular than Tom Nook, because when Ultimate came out, New Leaf was the big one, and like Isabelle, I think, was like the mayor of the town in New Leaf.
And like, I'm not saying like there's a better Animal Crossing character. I'm just, why is there an Animal Crossing character in Super Smash Brothers? It just feels...
There are two Animal Crossing characters in Smash Brothers. The villager's in there too. you didn't remember the villager, did you?
No. Oh.
He's no Shulk, but he's entertaining to play as. Sound more disappointed. Good grief.
So, I know you're going to... Do you think Pyra and Mithra are going to be there to stay? Because doesn't Nintendo own Xenoblade?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they do own it. I hope that they stay, because Xenoblade is quickly becoming one of those big popular series for Nintendo. Like, the original Xenoblade Chronicles, I believe, didn't do bad, but it didn't do, you know, the huge numbers that Nintendo typically expects of their franchises. Because, like, they came out with Splatoon, and I think it sold, like, 5 million copies or whatever. And then Xenoblade was, like, a generation prior, and I think it sold maybe, like, 500K.
Yeah.
But Xenoblade X sold better than the original Xenoblade did. And then Xenoblade 2 sold better than both of those. And then they remastered the original Xenoblade on the Switch, and it did even better. So... It's becoming more and more of a mainstream thing. Like, it's probably never going to put up, like, Splatoon numbers, but it might put up Metroid numbers. Because, you know, Metroid is that incredible series that everyone likes to talk about as if it's, you know, amazing, but then no one ever buys.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping Metroid Dread actually turns that around, which I picked that one up day one, and I actually quit playing that game to come and do the podcast, and I am stopped right before the final boss's room. That was the last thing I was doing. Like, I stopped playing, took the dog out, came in here, set up the microphone, and sat down. So the moment we're done with this, I'm probably going to go back to trying to fight the final boss again.
Here's my final question. So, outside of the standard roster and Nintendo owned properties,
mm-hmm.
Do you think any of the Smash Ultimate editions are going to stay around?
God, I hope that a lot of them get to stay, but I know that licensing is a pure nightmare. Like Simon and Richter, they're great Wi-Fi characters to play, so I greatly enjoy that they're in the game. But, you know, Konami is Konami, so who knows what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Cloud was a very weird addition because he came with so... I don't think a single new song was added from Smash 4 going into Ultimate, whereas every other character, even Snake, got new music to be paired along with, you know, his status as a third party. So Cloud got, like, nothing changed, but then we also got Hero and Sephiroth and Sora from the same company, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they just didn't have an opportunity to negotiate more things. But I am hoping that a lot of them do wind up coming over. A lot of these characters are being, like, thrown over into Ultimate as part of promotion. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of those things we have to accept. Pyra and Mithra probably weren't promoting anything. And I am a firm believer that Byleth was probably meant to be earlier in the previous Fighter Pass. Because I think they came like a full year after Three Houses, which, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
But typically speaking, when a Fire Emblem character is added, it's because of a like tie-in promotion with another game that they're hoping like each thing boosts the popularity of the other. So by having Corrin in, they're hoping that increases the number of people who pick up Fire Emblem Fates. And by having Fire Emblem Fates feature this character from Smash Brothers, they're hoping that people pick up Smash to see more of this character if they like them. It didn't pan out for Corrin. It also didn't pan out for Byleth, at least not in the United States. I don't know how well they were received in Japan, which I believe is, you know, the place they care about the most. But who knows? Whether SNK allows Terry or, you know, Microsoft allows Banjo and Steve, I mean, I have no idea. Square Enix seems to enjoy this new working relationship. So I'm hoping that out of the four Square Enix characters, I hope all four of them come back. Like, I can't play as Sephiroth to save my life. He is the wrong type of zoner for me to play. Because, you know, he's just big boy, long sword, has no out-of-shield options, that kind of thing. But he's really hype. That's just, he's really fun to play, really hype, has a funny comeback mechanic. Hero is probably the funniest character that they have added in a long period of time, just because you have a down B menu with all of the moves, and a couple of them can just cause you to die. And one of them specifically makes you die and punishes you for not reading. That was amazing foresight on their part, and I love that.
What about Bayonetta? Do you think Bayonetta will survive the cut, her being Platinum Games and all?
With the fact that Nintendo keeps shelling out the cash to publish the Bayonetta games, because, like, Bayonetta 2 wouldn't have existed without Nintendo. Like, Nintendo funded the entire development of 2, and now they're funding the development of 3, I believe, from scratch. So I'm pretty confident that Bayonetta will be a mainstay. I hope that they're not afraid to let her be good in the next one. She was outrageously good in 4. Like, good enough to the point where I was just able to pick her up after looking at a video on Twitter and carry randos off the top of the map without having practiced in the training room first. So she was a little bit too good in 4. Then when I picked her up at the start of Ultimate, I'm like, wow, everything has massive lag on it. I can't play this. They have made her better, though. Like, she is a much more competent character now than when the game first came out, which is much appreciated. But I don't see why she wouldn't come back, because she's probably the closest thing to a second-party character Nintendo has, because, like, I can't foresee any issues with Shulk coming back. And because I don't foresee any problems with him returning, I don't foresee problems with Pyra and Mithra outside of them, I don't know, trying to put it on an underpowered handheld where they can't do the transformation mechanic. Because that's why in Smash 4, they cut Pokemon Trainer, Ice Climbers. Actually, was that the game that Zelda and Sheik became their own character? I don't remember if the transformation was in Brawl or not. I don't remember very much of Brawl. I remember the theme song from Brawl. That theme song slapped.
I remember Brawl was a game.
Yeah. I was very bad at Brawl. Yeah. Like, worse than I am with Ultimate. And that's kind of hard to reconcile. I liked playing Luigi, who involved, like, tapping the stick repeatedly, and the game would punish me by making me trip randomly as I was trying to do a combo.
No, it's because you're a glutton for punishment.
Basically. I do like an Ultimate, though, that I could just basically fish for a grab. I play all the characters with gimmicks, I've noticed. Like, with Luigi, I do nothing unless I can fish for a grab, and then I can pull off a specific combo depending on how, like, high up your percent is. The lower it is, the better, because I might be able to zero to death you. Depending on, like, whether or not you know to SDI out of my combo. He's very gimmicky. You just can't let me grab you. Like most things in life, you shouldn't let me grab you. No means no.
So, I think that's a great place to stop. I want to thank all of you guys for joining the podcast. We'd love to hear your comments, any characters you like or dislike, or characters you'd like to see. And who knows, maybe you might agree with the bot from Lithuania and want Waluigi. You just never know. But make sure you keep listening. We'll have some guests planned in the future. And always check out our back catalogs. Show us to your friends. We'll be decent. Maybe.
Probably not.
We're never decent. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
I mean, I'm not wearing pants right now.
You're not supposed to tell them. Now they're thinking about it.
I mean, that's on them.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening in.
Have a good one.